Welcome back to Thoughts for Sale. I am your host, Chris Wazalik. Of course, this is the show where I leave thoughts, opinions, and advice for my three little girls, Sophie, Ava, and Leah, or better known as Sal. If this is your first time listening, thanks so much for checking it out. And of course, thank you to all of the loyal listeners that continue to come back and check out what I've got to share each and every week. Check us out. Every Thursday is a new episode, and this is now episode 17. So on today's episode, I'm riding solo again, and I want to talk about the seasons. Now, of course, there are the main four seasons, and we do get to enjoy all of them here in the Northeast. We have spring, summer, fall, and winter, but that's not the season I want to actually talk about today. I want to talk about the fifth season, which overlaps several of the actual seasons that I just mentioned, and that's cold and flu season. By far, my least favorite season, by far. You know, growing up in the Northeast, people always maybe assume that, Sal, that you're going to love winter. You must love winter. You grew up in the Northeast. You're probably into snowmobiling or skiing or snowboarding or ice skating. I'll be honest with you. Whole life lived in the Northeast. I definitely don't like winter. Regardless of if I tried those outdoor activities or not, I don't like being so cold. But that being said, the emphasis here, the season that I have grown to, I truly can say hate, and hate is a strong word, so I don't use it lightly, but I really, really, really despise and hate cold and flu season. And we're in the thick of it now, it feels like, already. It's October, the kids are back to school, we are post-COVID where masks are, you know, no longer being required or even necessarily encouraged, so all of our germs are definitely front and center again, and it just seems like we're right where we left off in the spring when it felt like we couldn't catch a break with you girls, where it's constant colds. Like literally as I sit here and record this podcast, I can just hear poor Ava upstairs in her room coughing. And as a parent, this is where I'm taking the approach on the episode tonight. How do we constantly deal with cold and flu season? So cold and flu season. This again is more girls for probably, you know, something that you're dealing with as kids, but I'm talking tonight through the eyes of the parent and what we have really come to learn we deal with now with school age kids, like I said before, and this time of year and continues all winter and into the spring. Like I said, this fifth season that seems to overlap about three of the other outdoor seasons in our climate. And that's the constant cold battles. So, you know, the thing that I wanted to share with you today, Sal, is just, again, what we are facing, what we think about. And it's really something that changes as you become a parent. When you're an adult, a young adult, even a teenager or a child, when you get to a certain age and you can start really start understanding and recognizing a little bit better your body, and you can understand when your body doesn't feel right. And I actually think it's interesting because I think Sophie's starting to, and I think Mom and I are starting to see this, girls, is Sophie, you're at that point now where you are starting to identify better when you really don't feel good. It's not like your sister still, and parents out there, you might relate to this. You know, they're 4 and 2, and they might be completely feeling like other garbage, fever of 103, and they're still running around the house bouncing off the walls like there was nothing wrong. Like you literally have to take them and sit them down to try to get them to rest. Whereas now, like I said, I think Sophie, almost 7 years old, is starting to feel within her own body and recognize like, I don't feel right. I feel like I need to rest. She can tell us, Mama, Daddy, something doesn't feel right. You know, and then of course we check, take your temperature. This happened only a few weeks ago, and yeah, you're running a fever. Let's give you some Tylenol. Let's get you to lay down and rest. And you know, she's kind of in that, like I said, that age where she's starting to realize that and develop it. And then of course, as you get older, you only further recognize when you're not feeling right, when you feel off, especially as an adult. So it gets easier. You know, as you get older, you can identify like, okay, something's not right. Do I need to go to the doctor? Do I not? Is it more serious? Right. But the younger two, no. There's no identifying that they're sick unless, you know, something is literally happening, like coughing. You know, that is clearly something they cannot avoid. That is a symptom of being ill. Potentially something like vomiting, and we won't go into details like that. But those type of actual symptoms that are not hidden, they're more visible. Those they can't hide from. But if they're just not feeling right, we don't necessarily know. If they're running a temperature, like I said, we don't necessarily know unless we happen to feel them or notice in some way that, hey, you don't seem right, let's take your temperature, and then we can find out. So it's very challenging at this point to have the three little kids and have the constant viral infections infusing their way into our home and making, if not one of our children sick, all of them sick, because of course it seems to run the household. And like I said, I think parents out there can relate to this great experience that we have here. So that's where, you know, I wanted to start impeding my wisdom on you girls, or sharing my wisdom with you girls, that we deal with this every year right now, and we're getting used to it. But I want to be open and honest with the fact that the number one reason that I truly, truly hate cold and flu season is not just because of actually having everybody, you know, feel like we're constantly rolling through one cold or another, but it literally breaks my heart to have to listen to you guys cough and cough and cough, or not feel good, and just not being able to, it seems, find the right remedy at times to try to get you to feel better. Because of course we all do this. Here we go. Here's the parenting piece. Call up the doctor, take them in. Oh, it's just viral. Nothing to prescribe. Just go home and rest. So then you do that so many times as your kid gets older. Okay, so you stop doing that, right? So maybe we overreacted a little bit when we only had Sophie and she started getting older and catching more colds from daycare or whatever, when she started getting more exposed to colds and viruses and germs. And then you turn on that and like, okay, well, really, are we really going to go back to the doctors again for them to just tell us again, you know, there's nothing we can do for it. It's not this, this, or this. We've ruled those things out. So go home and rest, you know, 48 to 72 hours later. Hopefully they've at least turned and started feeling better. So you kind of get that going over and over again. It sort of pulls you back on, well, do we really want to go through that process of going to the doctor's office again to have us tell us the same thing, and or go to an urgent care if the doctor's office doesn't have an appointment available? So these are the things that you kind of struggle with, Sal, as you get older as a parent, with you guys as little kids right now, is balancing all that. But there is one story that I do want to share, which why I say it always breaks my heart, and I literally do sort of have some PTSD from it. And I can't shake it. You know, I joke around about it at times to try to pass it off of not being a mental block for me, but it truly is. And I'm willing to share that. So Sophie, when you were younger, honestly, before Ava was even born, you had a couple of episodes that we've, you know, been able to work with doctors and get under control. And you have an allergist, a specialist, as you know now too, to react to an unknown situation to us. So you were only two and you were at daycare, and basically you had what was later called a cold induced asthmatic attack. We didn't know. We just, you know, we sent you to daycare. We didn't notice that there was anything wrong with your breathing. We thought it was, again, just another cold, giving you some Tylenol, you were running a fever, that type of thing. And, you know, basically as we were picking you up from daycare, they said to Mama, the daycare provider, that they were concerned, like something wasn't right. They thought maybe your breathing was off, and we're like, well, geez, we don't know. And, you know, long story short, or maybe not too short, we ended up taking you to the ER because we finally recognized that something wasn't right in your breathing, Soph. And that started this situation for like the next 6 months or so of trying to figure out was this a one-time thing? We had to keep an eye on you. We had the nebulizer at home, you know, with albuterol and had to react to. And I think the reason why it's always stuck with me and it's something that hangs over me whenever any of you guys have some type of congestion is because it's breathing, right? So there's a lot of different colds that you can get that won't necessarily impact your breathing. You know, you can run a fever, you can have diarrhea, you can, you know, feel upset stomach, whatever it is, but it doesn't impact how you're breathing. This directly did. And that's, to me, the scariest possible thing, to go to the hospital with your 2-year-old or 3-year-old and see them hooked up to oxygen because, you know, their oxygen's bottoming out in the 80s because this asthmatic attack they're having. So, you know, it was really traumatic for us, Soph, and the trauma definitely didn't go away for me. So, you know, fast forward. A great thing was we got your situation finally out under control a little bit after actually Ava was born. You had another episode that ended up putting you in the doctor's office again or the hospital for some observation. And now we've got you as we refer to your daily puff. And I wouldn't change a thing because that's the peace of mind that I can sleep with every night. Because like I said, this has definitely changed my outlook on cold and flu season is, you know, every time cold and flu season comes around, I don't want to have to worry about if my child can breathe. Bottom line. So you're on, you know, that daily dose of a very, very low grade steroid. And that Flovent is, knock on wood, worked ever since you were, you know, three and a half years old. And you've been on it as a regimen all the way through to help, you know, help your lungs stay strong and keep allergies away that may have an asthmatic episode if and when you actually get sick. So it's worked really well. You've had tons of respiratory type of illnesses since then, and they've, knock on wood, never been severe. Ava never had really any issues like that so far. You know, Ava, you're almost 4 and a half now. Knock on wood, you've had plenty of also respiratory colds. Like I said, you're coughing right now as you're trying to sleep, you poor thing. And never has it really developed anywhere where we would see those signs. So that's where it stuck with me. You know, we had the incident once with you, Soph. We were taught what we should be looking for because, again, you weren't put on any type of regimen right away. It was, let's get you healthy, let's monitor, right? Which is, I didn't disagree with that. Like, that's a normal process, I feel, for the medical world, is you're not just going to jump on some type of medication without seeing what can happen next or what might happen, you know, before you would prescribe that. But it was like, we had to know what to look for. So we know what to look for with like belly breathing, for example, know what to look for in your throat area. If you have a big bulge going in and out, like you're gasping for oxygen in your throat, you can look for that. So there's signs. So I picked up and I paid very close attention to detail. Maybe this is one of my strengths being a fault in the situation. I was extremely sensitive to this. And, you know, I think Mama would say, so if the next couple of times you had episodes, I was right on top of it. Like, we had the emergency albuterol again at home, but unfortunately it didn't, which is what led to the next plan of having the daily inhaler, the daily puff, right, that we call it, Soph, is that it didn't stop it enough on its own. Like, once you started having it, the attack would come on so quickly that the albuterol couldn't slow it down enough. We'd have to go in, have to get you the steroids in the hospital and get you settled back down, unfortunately. So we knew what to look for. So I've always been on edge. You know, I believe it's probably something hereditary. So if one child could have this, why wouldn't potentially the next? I always was on edge for Ava. You know, like I said, every time she's had respiratory coughs or colds, Ava, I've wanted to, you know, I look for those signs. Whether I'm consciously doing it or subconsciously, I have recognized myself later doing that. Like, I'm looking for trouble breathing signs every time you guys have a cough cold. I really am. That's why it's been traumatic. And like I said, it has stuck with me. So fast forward past your early years here, Ava, like I said, knock on wood, everything has been good with your body's reaction to respiratory illnesses. And then we've got little Leah. And little Lee is a COVID baby, right? So her exposure to true viruses in the world is even more sheltered because we were locked down, trying to avoid getting COVID, taking all those extra precautionary measures that we were specifically trying to avoid that one illness, that were also, of course, precautionary measures to end up, you know, staying away from all illnesses, girls. You know, wearing a mask was going to help keep away lots of germs, not just COVID germs, which isn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. It's just you didn't have the opportunity to be exposed to much at an early age, Leah. And so it was last Christmas, a couple days after Christmas, so we were still on holiday break, luckily, all of us, including myself. The university was still closed for the holidays. And, you know, you were fighting a respiratory cold and you woke up that one morning and I noticed the belly breathing. And I couldn't even tell you if it was as bad in reality as what I thought I was seeing. And, you know, mom agreed with me and we were concerned because you had a respiratory illness now for quite a few days and we were worried. So we took you in. We took you in. It seemed like it was the right move. You know, the ER wasn't just shoving us out the door type of thing. And this is still during COVID time of, you know, them having very high protocols and trying to save as many beds kind of for COVID as they could. But with you being so little, under two at that point, like a year and a half old, they definitely saw you. They did recognize something was off. They did send us home again with an albuterol and, you know, all that good medicine. And the big thing, I started just having the flashbacks. Oh no, here we go. Is this going to be Sophie all over again? We got to start watching this now. You're only 18 months. But again, thankfully, this has actually been working out so far as a positive for you. It hasn't turned into anything of knock on wood, needing to even go back to the hospital. But I did, again, recognize in myself, girls, that those previous experiences with you, Sophie, really stuck with me. So I'm here to share today. I truly, 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 truly hate the fifth season, as I'll refer to it as, the cold and flu season. I don't have good advice. You know, you try to keep your kids as sanitary as possible. Wash your hands. Stay on top of your fluids. Blow your nose if you do have a runny nose into a tissue. Cough into your sleeve. You try to do all these things to either keep the germs out to begin with or maintain who may catch it next and quarantine the germs to a certain extent. But we all know that that's almost impossible to manage all the time, especially when they're not here all day and they're off at school now. But these are the things that are really, really in our minds, girls. And you know, we hate cold and flu season, but we are back in the thick of it. And it just seems like no matter what we do, we finally get past one cold and the next one hits the household and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. It's actually interesting. We're in a very, I'm going to leave on this note today, which is partly why I felt like in October of 2022, when you guys go back and listen to this 10 years later and dad's talking about cold and flu season, I felt like this was such an appropriate time to do this because we did see an article or post not too long ago as we were just getting into fall here about what cold and flu season could be like this year, because there's still the concerns out there that, you know, there can be more future waves of COVID here and, you know, we're doing vaccines and all that good stuff. And, you know, knock on wood again for probably like the fifth time in the episode. But we've had COVID, we didn't have it severe, and we're hoping we have enough antibodies between vaccine and previous illness to, you know, make any future illness also quite mild. So the very big concern of it being an extremely severe illness has definitely seemed to pass. But the article wasn't about COVID. It was about now all the other illnesses, especially respiratory ones, that have been, you know, to some extent, and this probably isn't the exact wording or terminology used, but to some extent sort of dormant over the last couple of years and just not as spreadable because, again, we've had so many precautions already in place to COVID. It has kept the other illnesses kind of at bay too. But the unfortunate thing is the impact has been none of your girls' immune systems here, Sal, is maybe as strong as it would be normally year over year from catching and being exposed to all these different colds just naturally from school or wherever you might be. So kind of the warning out there was this could be a really bad cold and flu season here in 2022-2023 cold season, because we just don't have the immunities built up that we normally do year over year from having so many more illnesses being out there and getting into everyone's systems and building those immunities, because we've been so kind of isolated for almost 2 years straight. And masked and so many great precautions to avoid specifically COVID. So, you know, it's top of mind for us. It always is. And like I said, we're in the thick of it. And I definitely wanted to be a little bit vulnerable to share the trauma that we went through that has stuck with me all this time, Soph. And then we saw it with you too, Leah. But the bottom line is, you guys overall are very healthy. Parents out there, just know you're not alone. You know, we all feel the stress of cold and flu season. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, if you want to, you know, connect on that and have some more dialogue. Sometimes it's like group therapy just to talk it out and share, quote unquote, share some war stories of some of the things that you're facing with your own kids out there. So Sal, try to stay healthy. Please, please, please wash your hands as much as you can. Please, if you have that cough happening, don't cough on your sister's face like you like to do, Ava. Cough in your elbow. And maybe that this season of flu and cold won't be as bad as it's been predicted so far. And that's all we can really hope for. Well, that's a wrap on another episode of the Thoughts for Sale podcast. And Sophie, Ava, Leah, Sal, remember, your mom and I are always proud of you. We always are here for you. And we always love you. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to leave a review and comments. And please also follow, share, and subscribe wherever you download your podcasts. You can also connect with us now on Facebook as well as Twitter. Both places, just search for @ThoughtsForSale. All right, take it away, Sal.
Thank you for listening to the Thoughts for Sale podcast with my daddy, Chris.
Bye-bye.